Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Everybody, I hope you're doing amazing. This is a really impromptu podcast that I wasn't really planning on recording, but we're going to do it anyway. And I mean, if I do post a video somewhere, I'm in my studio slash setup for recording for the new program. And right now it's 10:20 on a Monday morning. The reason this podcast is so impromptu is because the 6 week reset has just launched and it is the last one I'm going to be running, and it starts, like, the intake is open at the moment, but it starts on the 27th of October. And while I had just finished recording something for the new program that's coming out next year, and I was waiting for something else to, there was a lot of editing and processing going on that I was like, shit, I've got about 30 minutes before all of this goes. What should I do? And then I remembered I didn't write an email for people in just like my entire email list to be like, hey, the reset is something that I'm doing. And it sparked a really good topic. And then I realized this is why I used to do the mindset emails on Monday, which I'm hoping to get back to that next year as well. There's a lot of stuff in the works at the moment, which is awesome because it means that we're developing and pushing and there's going to be some new fun things for next year, but also annoying that it takes me away from doing the stuff that I want slash need to do right now. I hyper-focus on it like all fuck, as I'm sure most of you would be aware. But the topic that came up for this email that I was writing for, I mean, if you're on the mailing list, you probably already got it. You probably already saw it. But most people this time of year, if the weather is decent, which it's not at the moment, but if the weather is decent, they fear the holidays. They fear Christmas, New Year's, and they're not really thinking about it right now because it's still October. They're pushing it off. But to look at this, and I'm using the 6 week reset because it's on the top of my mind at the moment. I launched it literally 2 hours ago. This reset, we start on the 27th of October and we finish on the 5th of December or the 7th of December or something like that. It's the first week of December that we finish. And that's 6 weeks before we hit December, before we hit the part of, oh my God, fuck, I haven't got people presents. Not even 2 months, a month and a half, not even that actually. And most people in October are not really thinking about it because there's Halloween that's coming up. And once Halloween is done, then typically in Australia, I know Americans, you have Thanksgiving going on and whatever the fuck happens in England, I'm not 100% sure. But in Australia, once we get through basically the 31st, then we get November 1st. I'm sure you know how months work by now. But we hit November 1st and that's where people start freaking out because they go, fuck, I have to get presents. I've got to get all this stuff. I've got to get everything going. And the reason that I love bringing it up now is because I start doing most of the shopping and things, or I start thinking about Christmas at least right now, because one, I start to go, ooh, where am I going to put all my Christmas stuff on my desk and shelf and all this stuff? And that's going to be fucking amazing. And then the second thing comes is presents. Where are we doing Christmas? Where do we have to go? Who are we buying for? And blah, blah, blah. And me and Beth are already going through all of that, which is awesome. The thing that most people fear, I suppose, is the fear of missing out. When it comes to Christmas, there's usually a lot of foods that they just go like, oh, but it's Christmas, so I need to have this. Maybe Auntie Bo Banti is bringing down something that they always do. I see them this time of year and it's the best thing in the fucking world. And I remember when I was a kid, I used to have, and there's heaps of memories and things associated with Christmas. So you either love it or you hate it. I don't know many people that are sitting in the middle of it that are like, eh, you know, it is what it is. Like it's, I can see the fun, but it's just not for me. I don't know many people like that. It's either like, oh, I hate it because it brings up a lot of memories, or I love it because of what it does now. And if I'm looking just at myself and my Christmas, I fucking love Christmas now. And obviously I did as a kid, but then through, like, you know, 12 up until 24, 25, it was just kind of a day. It was getting, not when I was like 12, 13, 14, but when I started getting older, particularly like 17, 18, 19, 20, it was more of just like, and I spent my 19th, when I was 19, I spent that Christmas in Canada. So that was fun. But also I remember that Christmas and I was so fucking depressed and lonely at that Christmas that I was like, oh my God, I'm at Christmas. I'm not at the party. I had a bit of a panic attack going to this party that obviously all my roommates and stuff were at as well, but then ended up going home and just watching Family Guy. And then I was fucking crying in. I was like, man, do I just go home? Because I'm so lonely. It's Christmas. I'm spending it by myself watching fucking Family Guy. And now it's a funny memory that I look back on and go, I went to this party, and I'm not going to do the full party recap for you, but it was funny. It's a long story. But looking back, it was kind of funny, particularly now that I'm healthier mentally. Well, and physically as well. Probably not physically. I was really fucking fit. Snowboarding for 4 hours a day. That'll make you fit. I'm in better shape now, though, which is cool. But around that Christmas time, oh yeah, and I've chosen to have fun at Christmas. I've chosen now, as the adult that I am, to have a better Christmas. I've chosen to just lean into the childlike wonderment of Christmas. I don't care about being made fun of at like 18, 19. I still do. When I was younger, of going to Christmas and basically just being compared to my brother. Oh, when are you going to get a job? Or what are you doing this? And Mark was obviously in the high of like his career. He was busy as fuck, really, and leading a good life. And, you know, 17, 18, someone that's 6 years older than you. And I'm like, oh shit, okay, well, I need to get my shit together. I need to start looking at like cars or partners or a real job or things like that. And you don't really take into account, well, I'm only 18 and they're like 24. You're just taking into account, well, that's my brother and we're basically the same person. So yeah, I need to get my shit together. And when family drama started kicking in, that's where Christmas was really much just, I can't be fucked and I don't want to go through all this shit. And it's very annoying and bothersome. Why the fuck would I put myself through that if I'm just going to get made fun of and be reminded of everything that I don't have right now? And now as the adult, I've basically just chosen happiness. I've just chosen to have fun around this time of year. Anywhoosies, that's why I love Christmas now. So the big topic is the fear of missing out, whether it's food or drinks or just having a good time at Christmas. The biggest issue is most people get to kind of December and then they go, oh my God, fuck, I have like 3 weeks left of work. What am I going to do? And obviously not many people like in December are like, yeah, this is the perfect time to start coaching. December is one of my quietest years. It's one of my quietest coaching times. It is, oddly enough, one of my more popular times for people wanting coaching information to sign up to start next year, which is fucking awesome. I love that. And I usually end up giving them even more coaching and be like, let's just do December for free. And then we'll start the official coaching in January. If I've got the space to do it, then I'll fucking do that because I just love it. How do you get through Christmas without binging? How do you get through Christmas and New Year's without feeling like shit and eating to explode? And this was the email that I was writing for the 6 week reset to be like, hey, the biggest problem that I see for a lot of people right now and that I typically have in years past help people with is binging through Christmas and New Year's. And the, what was it? I'm going to post it on my stories soon, but you're probably going to see my stories before you even get this. I can't bring it up. It was, actually, I'm going to make sure that I can bring it up. Bear with me for just a moment while I get my shit together. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Here it is. Something more routine than family drama over the holidays is the fact that people binge their way through it. And then there's a bunch of dot points. They eat till they feel like they're going to explode. They fear missing out on the Christmas food, the Boxing Day leftovers, the December 27th leftovers from leftovers, the New Year's food and drinks, the January 2nd hangover, the January 3rd existential crisis, realizing that it's 2026 now. And then the thought, fuck, where did the time go? Isn't it still 2020? And as I was writing that, I was like, you know what, Trav, that's actually pretty fucking good. Well done. And I was like, thank you. I should probably turn this into a podcast. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I will. And then I hit record and here we are. So you can tell that it's not very scripted and it's rather just improv at the moment. But that point from December 24th right through to like January 3rd, it is a giant blur for everyone. Either you're going somewhere for friends or family or Christmas, or you're just working per normal, or you're just seeing some friends, or you're just watching all the highlights of all the food and everything through fucking social media. But that whole time, for most people that I have worked with, a high majority, 70 plus, probably 80% of people, is they get worried about this time of year, because of the binging tendencies, because of how their mindset is so set up, and particularly when there is family drama or something that is going to bring stress to the situation or something that's just going to put you into an emotional response or that stress eating response. That's where most people get their, I suppose, excess calorie consumption from. It is from that emotional moment. And for some people, it can also be emotional in the sense of the complete opposite direction. Instead of it being like sad and stressful, it can be completely happy and this shit is awesome and just kind of rolling with the dopamine punches, going for the cheese board. Like, I have clients, particularly myself as well, that have to put themselves on the other side of the room for the cheese board because it's fucking awesome. Cheese hits the brain in the same way that chocolate does. So it has a massive dopamine response for the brain, and it just hits and melts that part where we're like, fuck yeah, this is everything I'm wanting. So, and if you're lactose intolerant, then that fucking sucks, but you're probably going to end up shitting your pants through Christmas because you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. So don't forget, no matter where you go, to pack 10 pairs of underwear like you're going on a 2-day trip. Fun fact for all those lactose intolerant people out there that I'm sure you already do. So how do my clients consistently get through the Christmas, New Year, bingey type of stuff? How do they manage that emotional response? Whoa, scratch my pen. The emotional response, the stress response. And the answer that I put into the email was basically because we've worked on those habits, because we've had the time to put the structure, systems, habits, foundations, all that insert synonym here, shit in. And yes, right now, we're looking at kind of 6 to 8 weeks, like 8 weeks at the moment at the time of recording, before we kind of hit Christmas and we're like, okay, well, now it's up to you. Good luck. And in the 6 to 8 weeks, you can lay some pretty damn good foundations, because the main thing that we're looking for right now, and this is what I'm going to be going through in the reset and for every reset, but particularly this one, is how does food make you feel? What response do you get from food? And the thing that I like about it is that it's typically a delayed response. Like if you have let's just say chicken broccoli rice. It's the most boring fucking thing in the world and almost none of my clients do it. But you know what? Ooh, acai bowl. Let's go with that. If we have acai bowls for 3 meals a day, let's just go with that because I'm looking for something that is super nutrient dense of like colorful and bright and shiny and micronutrients and all that stuff. Let's say we have a high protein acai bowl and your calories are matched and you are hitting your deficit calories pretty well, but you've got all the nutrients coming in. You will not really feel a difference that day. The next day you'll be like, oh, okay, I'm starting to like, not even like I'm starting to feel results, but the next day you'll be like, I'm really craving a hot jam donut. I'm craving a insert your comfort food here. Then if you do that second day of eating the high protein acai bowls and hitting your calorie targets, that is where then let's just say on the Wednesday, the third day that you will be like, oh, I'm starting to feel a little bit better. Like you may not even notice it then, but that's when you'll typically start to gut-wise feel a little bit better. And if we can lay 6 weeks of that in a row, that's not to say don't have the pizza or the donuts or the comfort food or anything like that. Have that, schedule it in, have it on a day in that week. And I'm just using obviously very generalistic terms here, so bear with me for a sec. But if we hit your, let's just say calorie targets, you hit high protein, you're getting the right nutrients in. If you do that for 6 to 8 weeks, starting from right now, you will feel fucking amazing, a shitload better. You will sleep better, have more energy, your gut health will feel a lot better, and you will just, life will come to you a lot easier. You can participate in life a lot more as well. You might even get up the stairs at work a hell of a lot easier, and you'll be like, oh fuck, I didn't know that was a thing. 6 to 8 weeks of literally just going, here's breakfast. Do whatever the fuck you want for breakfast. I don't do meal plans. If you're new to this podcast, maybe, or just my coaching in general, you may not know that I don't do meal plans. I do calories and macros because you know what you like. You already know the foods that you like, dislike. And when I do meal plans, or had Tennille on, who was the nutritionist that did meal plans for people, it came back 3 or 4 times. Oh, I forgot to mention I don't like salmon. Okay, let's do this. Oh, I forgot to mention that when I mix it with this, the texture really puts me off. So I'm going to do that. It's okay. Get rid of all of that and the triple, quadruple handling and go, here's the targets. Eat whatever the fuck you want for the first week. And then I will come in and make some small suggestions and we can have a chat and talk about, hey, how can we get protein up? Do you like fucking chickpeas? Do you like chicken? Do you like turkey, beef, ham, mince, anything like that? Oh, you like mince. Cool. How can we put that in? Maybe we can do a breakfast burrito. Is that something that you would be? And we can start having that conversation. it's a lot easier than a meal plan, because then you're not just reliant on the meal plan forever to lose weight or just eat healthy or maintain weight. You're then learning what is in food, and you have that education to, when we stop coaching, you go, oh yeah, this has protein, this has more nutrients, I'm going to go for that, I'm going to go for the volume stuff, and this is what makes me feel good. And you just have that innate knowledge now to know what works for you and go for it, which is why I do calories and macros, and then tweak your lifestyle with very small things, one thing at a time, which is why the transformation program, my big one-on-one thing, 80, 90% of people do 6 months. Almost no one does a 3-month program unless they're like, they have one very specific thing that they want to do. And I'm like, yeah, 3 months sounds like it would actually make sense. And then maybe 15, 20% of people do 12 months because they're like, hey, I want to lose like 40 kilos and I've done this and this and this, and this is where I'm at. I'm like, cool, let's do 12 months. But 80, 90% do 6 months. And that's what I would recommend for most people, because it gives us the chance to do exactly what I'm trying to do with this 6-week reset of set you up to have an amazing future. Are we going to get the same results from the 6-week reset compared to the 6-month transformation program? Fuck no. If I did, then I'd be a fucking millionaire by just selling the 6-week reset and people would be done forever. What we are trying to do is get you to put some foundations or habits or routine in to build some level of consistency. And for that word, I do not want you to think that consistency is perfection. You don't have to be perfect with this. All you have to do is just be like, yep, this is breakfast most days. This is lunch and dinner most days. These are my calorie targets, macro targets most days. That's it. We want to stop you going from 1,000 calories on one day to 3,000 calories the next, and then to 1,500 the next day. We want to build it and be like, hey, anywhere between 1,500 and 1,800, go for that. And then let's just see what happens. And then on Saturday, have 2,500, whatever the fuck that you want, whatever it depends on. Like, it really depends on the person. But for this, when we start to feel better, you will do things that snowball it to keep you feeling good. That's what we're trying to do. And we can do it in a very simple way by starting with the foundations of what is a healthy diet, what helps you sleep, what helps you digest food better, and what helps you just get through life without feeling like shit, without the food having to be overcomplicated or feel like a part-time job. That is all of my coaching, but that is for this reset from now. And I'm saying the reset just as like 6 weeks, but if you're not doing the reset, then cool, that's awesome. You can still use all of this information here from now for 8 weeks until we get to Christmas to breakfast, lunch, dinner, do all of that shit, build the consistency, and that's going to be awesome. If you do want to join the reset, then cool. There'll be a link in bio or a website somewhere that will take you to sign up. Go to my Instagram or TikTok, well, go to my Instagram at @TravisMurrells_ and then click the link in bio or comment reset on literally any of my fucking posts, and then my bot will come in and just send you the link and be like, hey, thanks for your interest and blah, blah, blah. Here's the link. You can do that as well. Otherwise, it'll be in any of my link in bios. Anywho, when you start to feel good, you'll start to snowball it naturally. So that when we get to Christmas, when we get to whatever big events that you have over the holidays, they don't feel as stressful because you know what works for you and what makes you feel good. So it's not about going in there and then, yes, you're still going to have those associations and someone, Auntie Bobanti, will bring her famous Bobanti cake, Bunt Auntie cake. And you will fucking love that and you will want to go for that. But then it becomes, from the time that we've had, it's going to be, don't have a second serving. The food that you are going for at Christmas, it's very much the same as every other time, except now there's just a fuckload of it. And yes, temptation is going to be high, but do what I call a scouting run first. Do a recon mission. What is the food that is here? Does anyone have a special dessert? Is there a fucking banging ham that someone has brought in? Do that recon to know what type of food is here to then go, okay, here's the plan. I'm going to have my plate and I'm going to chuck that ham on there because Trav made it and it's fucking banging. I'm going to do that. Then I'm going to have some of this potato salad, like whatever it's going to be. You have a plate. What are you going to fill that plate with? Aim for the protein first. What are you going to fill that plate up with that you won't regret? That's really what I'm going for. And regret can be in twofold. The first one can be regret in the sense of you have it and then you're like, oh man, I shouldn't have had that. I feel sick because it was my third helping of sticky date pudding. Then you're like, okay, fuck, that was probably a bit much. I regret that. It can be in that sense. It can also be in the sense of, this is going to be awesome. I don't want to miss out on the sticky date pudding, so I'm not going to not have it. I'm going to have one serving. So it can also be that in the sense of regret. When you have done your recon mission for Christmas or Boxing Day, or if you do Christmas Eve or whatever event that this could possibly be, and it might even just, you may not even need a recon mission because it's just there bang in front of the table. But before you reach for stuff, what is your plate going to consist of? I tell people to aim for the protein first. This is how I build most of my plates. And if I'm talking Christmas, let's just go with that for a sec. I look at the meats. There's typically a ham, which I apparently when you turn 30, you have to take over the duties of bringing a full fucking ham, even as if there's six people. That's your duty, apparently. Then there's usually like a turkey or a chicken or something like that. There's usually a bunch of different meats at this Christmas that we typically go to. I look at the meats first and then I pick up my plate and then I go, ham, fuck yeah. Turkey, yep. And then let's just say chicken. Chicken, chuck that on there as well. And I'm picking up bits that I know that would look about the same serving size that I would normally have for dinner, because dinner for me is typically my largest meal of the day, any other day of the week. So I'm building a plate and going, yep, bit of ham, bit of turkey, bit of chicken, as just examples. And then I go, cool, what do I want to fill that up with? And then I fill it up with some stuff, but I make it look like a plate that is going to be slightly bigger than a normal dinner plate through any other day of the week. And when I finish it, I sit there for about 5-10 minutes, because as soon as I finish, I'm typically going to go, fuck yeah, let's go get some more. But if I sit there for 5 minutes and let myself digest and go, no, I want to let other people have the meat because I picked up, you know, all of them at once. Maybe someone didn't get a chance to pick it up as of yet. So I'm just going to give it a second, wait for other people to pick up what they want, because I'm assuming most people are going to be rather polite and be like, oh, I don't want to have that last server. I'm going to do this. And there's always going to be like some fun uncle or something that will just be like, bang, that's mine. Fuck you. And pick it up. And you're like, fantastic. Didn't have to make that choice. Give myself a second to digest, sit, and then be like, do I actually want another one? I know that there's dessert coming later or whatever the fuck, or there's heaps of lollies and chips and all that shit around. Can I be fucked having a second serve? Because if I have a second serve, then I'm not having all that other stuff. And this is literally just going through my head in like 10 seconds. As I'm sitting there at the dinner table, I've just finished my plate, eat the protein first, and then I've eaten everything else around it. I feel pretty full. I feel pretty satisfied and I'm happy with the choices that I've got. And I also have left room, quote unquote, left room for dessert later. And I know what dessert I'm getting because everyone fucking brags about it and they go, oh, I'm bringing this sticky date pudding or there's this. And people start talking. They go, oh my God, auntie person brought this one. You're like, oh my fucking God. I pick a dessert and then I go with that. And what typically happens is Beth will get one, let's just say sticky date pudding and then lemon meringue pie. We'll typically grab one of each and then we'll cut it in half and then we get both for basically the same serve. That's what we end up doing. Most of the time for clients, that's how to build a Christmas plate apparently. For clients that struggle with the fear of missing out when it comes to food, in the sense of have a sticky date pudding and then you have it and you go, oh my God, but there's lemon meringue. I fucking love lemon meringue. It's my favorite thing. And you have to go over and get it. You could get lemon meringue literally any time of the year. Most of the things that are there at Christmas or over any holiday period, you can typically get them whenever the fuck you want. It's not the fear of missing out. It's just the fear of missing out right then and there. But you're never missing out because you can really just go get it whenever you want. You could literally just drive to fucking Woolies or Coles or something or anything else that's not the duopoly motherfuckers that you can just, ooh, I got aggressive on that one. That's not the duopolies. And you could just go wherever the hell you want and pick up a lemon meringue or a sticky date pudding or a something. And it may not be 100% the exact same, but it's going to give you, it's going to hit that same craving if you really wanted to. Do you want to go out of your way to go get that? No, it's right there at the fucking table. I'm going to have that dessert. But the fear of missing out is just in that moment. But it doesn't mean you're never going to have that food again because you can get it whenever you want. It's on sale. Most people got it from somewhere. And if it is a homemade something, I'm just going with lemon meringue. If it is a homemade lemon meringue, then cool. Guess what you do? You prioritize that over the other desserts. You prioritize the food that is limited edition. You have that. You build your plate with that. And then you know what is coming because you've done your recon mission, your scouting, and you go, this is what I'm having. And then if you notice that you are sitting by the chips, move the chips somewhere else or move yourself somewhere else. And if you can't have something in your hands that you can fiddle with, like not just your phone. If you've got Christmas crackers and fucking pop one of them, they'll have some sort of random bullshit in the middle of them toy that you can just play around with. If you've got the little, if you're in Australia, you've likely got the Christmas crowns from the crackers. Play with that. Something that just keeps your hands occupied. Carry a bottle of water with you so that you can play with it with your hands. You can fiddle with the top, but then when you feel like you're hungry or whatever, you can just have a sip of water. You can do all of this. There's heaps of strategies and things, not even talking about the emotional ones, just physical, tangible strategies to be like, okay, this is how I'm going to get through the Christmas and without binging. And you can imagine the amount of different strategies that we have per person, the more that I get to know you as a person and then go, okay, for Christmas, let's do this. What does your Christmas look like? And we can build this out together. So how do my clients get through that holiday season without relatively binging or going overboard or feeling like shit? Some of them do it sometimes, and that's completely fine. Some of them are expecting that. They go on their last call. Yep, I'm going to fucking send it this Christmas. It's going to be amazing because of ABC. And then I'm like, cool, go for it. When, obviously after that, then we're just back on track. It doesn't mean we need to be tracking. It just means we're back to where's the protein? What's my breakfast, lunch, dinner? Just a normal lifestyle. It's not restrictive in that sense. It's just common sense. Don't eat to make yourself feel like shit. That's really what we're going for. One thing I used to say all the time to people was eat whatever the fuck you want, but just don't eat like a fucking four-year-old and you'll be completely fine. Typically at Christmas, at the moment, my age bracket of people having kids and everyone being young and having kids and stuff, there's going to be young kids at Christmas and all these events, and you'll see them. I want this. I want that. If you look at those kids, if you look at those kids running around demanding that type of food, and that's basically you, but you're just not saying it out loud. You're just like, oh, you're thinking, I want that. And then you go and get it. Oh, I want that. I'm going to go get it. You're pretty much eating like a fucking four-year-old. So you need to be the parent or the guardian to yourself and wrangle in that inner child. Let the inner child go on the fucking playground. Let them run around, play with toys, do all the fuck. And then you're just like, okay, now it's dinner time. I'm going to make you a plate. This is what a healthy plate would look like. Here's the protein. Here's the this. Just be the guardian for your own inner child. That's really what we're looking for in life in general, but specifically at points where you know that you're going to be stressed, emotional, or just really bingy. That's what we're looking for. I don't think I took a fucking breath during that thing. So, in terms of the emotional strategies, once you have the tangible strategies, for example, like you've got your recon mission, you're going for the protein, you know what plate that you're going to be making. If from there, that is your plan that you are sticking to or that you want to stick to, it doesn't mean that you can't have like, oh, there's a lemon meringue thing. No one's going to have it. Okay, cool. Well, I'm just going to have half of it, or find someone who wants to split it with you. Then fantastic. If I can go for it, you're an adult. I'm going to trust you in this sense. So the emotional strategies then become, particularly for family drama. For family drama, it's then going to be more of a water off a duck's back. It's going to be put up your fucking force fields. And I don't recommend masking for most times. If this is going to be a time where it is going to be very, how do I say it? I'm just going to say triggering. I feel like that's the easiest umbrella term I can use. For a time it's going to be very triggering, then feel free to mask up for just that moment. And that's completely fine. Then come out of it. But we've got our plan that we're sticking to. And if someone comes up and goes, oh yeah, I like the dress, but your muffin top's showing, or something that's just completely fucking unhinged and uncalled for. And I know a lot of clients listening to this would be like, yeah, that's my mom, or that's my auntie, or that's my whoever did the 80s diet, 90s diet. And they were just like, I'm going to take my own almonds to Christmas because I fucking hate life. Whoever that person is for you, then cool. We are going to take everything that they say as, I'm going to say with a grain of salt, or like a fucking kilo of salt. They are more worried about themselves than they are with you, because they have something fundamentally, I'm just going to say, broken within them, whether it's their mindset, mental health, their body image, their relationship with food, the scales, whatever the fuck. They have something that is fundamentally broken with them and their mindset and relationship to food, body, or just scales or numbers in general. And they are going to try and go, these are my constant thoughts all the goddamn time. So when you show something that is projecting from them, oh, that is something. Okay, hey, I like the dress, but your muffin top is showing a little bit. Have you thought about, but they're trying to help you because that's how they see the world. And I feel sorry for them. That is how I get through most interactions, is if someone says something completely fucked, my first initial response just in general is anger and like really defensive. And it's like, but then like that, it instantly swaps into empathy and be like, oh my God, like, why would you say that? Are you okay? Like what happened? What prompted you to say that? Like, is there something, like, is this ruining your day? It's something in that sense that's like, oh my God, I was just minding my business and you brought that up. Like, what's happened? Are you okay? What's wrong? And I don't always get like that, pretty much, because most of my family now knows, don't fucking talk about body. Don't talk about anything that you don't really wouldn't bring up to a stranger, really. And anything that that person would say, we're going to call them the projector. That is not a fucking word. Let me try again. We're going to call them the projector. There we go. Anything that the projector would say, it's more of like, I feel sorry for you, because that's what you're focusing on at Christmas with all of this stuff around, or even on Boxing Day, or just like during any sort of holiday season. It's just like, man, we're together and we haven't seen each other in however long, and that's what you're choosing to focus on. I feel really bad for you that that's all that you can focus on during this entire time. And just let it be water off a duck's back. It is not going to change our plan. It is not going to change our recon mission, our protein, how we feel. Because if we take these 6 to 8 weeks that we have at the moment and we stack them up, you then have 6 to 8 weeks of, man, taking care of myself and eating to fuel myself and not having it be completely complicated or a part-time job or feel like shit, that actually feels really good. I feel good within my body. I'm starting to see results. I'm starting to feel results. Life is getting a bit better. Once we have that kind of context for doing these things works and helps my life and makes me feel better, it makes it a lot easier to then say, no, I'm not going to have that because I'm feeling really good. Or, and you don't even have to justify it to anyone else, but just to yourself, I'm feeling really good. I don't really want to, you know, eat until I feel bloated, or I just don't want to feel like shit tomorrow. And that's one of the biggest things for me of, I could smash this entire pizza, or I could just have half now, stop, and then have half later. And I'm not going to feel like shit both days. But then also there's meal prep, for example. And at Christmas, it's like, yeah, cool. Well, I'm just going to eat whatever I want. But I also don't want to eat so much that I feel bloated, that I feel sick, that I can't get up, or that I'm going to collapse on the couch, or I can't run with like if we're doing like cricket or whatever the fuck, I can't run or participate in any of that because I feel like I'm going to throw up. I don't want to eat to that point. That feels fucking horrible. But I eat to feel good. And if it feels like having another piece of lemon meringue, then fantastic. I'm going to sit with that for a second to go, okay, do I have the room for it, or is it going to make me feel like shit? Is it going to make the situation better? Is it going to make it worse? And that's typically something, particularly if it comes to like drinking is the easiest one, is most people will drink up until a point. And then there's usually a point where it's like, if you have any more alcohol, is it really going to make things better? Or is it just going to hit that tipping point and make things worse? Should we start on the water? And that's something that hits for me, particularly when I was going out a lot in my younger years. In my youth, as they say, I got to a point where I was like, okay, I'm dancing, I'm enjoying myself, I can talk to whoever the fuck I want. I'm feeling really good, so I don't need any more alcohol. I'm going to get on the waters and prevent this hangover as best as I can. I didn't, but I'm going to stop on the drinks because it's just going to make things worse from here. So I might as well just start because I'm at that spot where I feel pretty fucking good. I do that for food and also drinks and just everything pretty much all the time. Is it going to make the situation better or is it going to make it worse? For the person who is the projector, let them do whatever the fuck they're going to do. They're going to say it anyway. There's not really much at the moment, unless obviously I'm talking to a one-on-one person where I'm like, hey, this is what we can say moving ahead. But for right now, super general advice, feel sorry for them that that's what they have to bring up and focus on at during the holiday season. It's like, man, I feel sorry for you that you can't focus on how good it is to see people, to catch up, to do all this shit, to enjoy this food together. And yeah, let them do what they're going to do. And then you have to let yourself do what you had initially said that you were going to do. Stick to the plate. Don't let them fuck up your day. Is that comment going to change your life? Is it going to change your day? Is it going to change what you're already doing? Because if from now, 6 to 8 weeks, you've been focusing on getting your breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, desserts, just your nutrition in general, to a pretty consistent point where you feel good, is that comment from someone really going to change what you do about yourself? No, it's not going to change your life. It's not going to change your habits, your day-to-day, your anything really. And if we know that that advice is not going to change our day-to-day or lifestyle outside of this moment, then don't let it affect this moment, because it's just water off a duck's back. They're projecting, we feel sorry for them, and we're going to enjoy this time that we have. And you know that you are working on yourself, that you are getting better, that you feel happy with what you're doing. So let them do whatever the fuck that they're going to do, because you feel good with what you're doing. So water off a duck's back. It doesn't fucking matter. Cool. Feel sorry for you. We don't have to have that emotional response because you're already moving forward. If you weren't doing anything and you were putting on heaps of weight and you were, I'm going to say, just trending in the wrong direction, and someone brings up that comment, then yeah, it's not going to change your life because you're still doing the exact same thing. If it reaches or pushes through an emotional threshold where you go, oh my God, fuck yeah, I have put on heaps of weight. I have done this. I need to get my shit together really. Then cool. It may change something for your day to day. It doesn't mean that we need to completely cut out the food for today. It doesn't mean that we need to completely restrict and starve ourselves for today, for a day that comes once a year. And that could be December 23rd. It could be December 28th. It could be whatever day that you're fucking catching up with people. But if it is a social moment like that, where it is a once a year type of thing, don't let that, even if you are quote unquote trending in the wrong direction in the sense of like, putting on weight or feeling worse with yourself or your health is just deteriorating in some sort of sense, it's still not going to change what you're doing in that day, in that moment, because it's not going to be worth it. If you want to do something about yourself and that comment really hurt and you want to do something, then cool, you can, but there's nothing you can do about it right now that is going to make a world of difference. All you can do, come up with that same plan that we had of do the recon, get the protein, build your plate, all that shit that I've just been talking about. Then, okay, cool. I need to do something. I'm going to get a coach. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to do whatever it's going to be. I'm going to get my breakfast, lunch, dinner shit together. And cool, that's something that you do after the Christmas or in the new year or whenever the fuck you want. You can start doing it on December 27th if you want to. There's really no rules around it, but most people start in the new year. So why the fuck not? But anyway, so yeah, that is it. We have nothing to fear when we go into the holiday time. If it's FOMO, like fear of missing out, you can get that food wherever the fuck that you want. If it is overindulging, is it going to make it any better? Is it going to make it worse? Is it going to make you feel like shit? Don't eat like a fucking four-year-old. That's really what we're going for. If you have, from right now, listening to this podcast, because you can fucking choose to do this and it is completely free, of just sort out your breakfast, lunch, and dinner and routine them as best as you can. Try to improve the protein count of all of them. It doesn't mean you have to have fucking a kilo of chicken every single day. It just means like, could you do a breakfast burrito? Could you do a protein shake in the morning to get that up if you just have normal cereal? Could you have high protein bread for your toast instead? These little things make massive improvements. You don't even have to worry about prepping lunch because you can just use dinner, leftovers from dinner for lunch the next day if you're in that position to be able to do so. If not, then cool, make a fucking sandwich, ham and cheese sandwich, or a chicken mayo sandwich, something that is just consistent nutrition. You can make tweaks as you go to optimize it, but having a consistent meal time and structure, that is the biggest thing that helps people realize what is going on with my food, nutrition, weight, health, everything. So yeah, if you want to start laying those habits foundations of the breakfast, lunch, dinner, and you want me to just help you sort all of that out before we get to the Christmas time, then yeah, join the 6-week reset. It's $297 Australian for the entire 6 weeks. When I first launched the reset like 2 years ago or some shit, it was $499 for the 6 weeks. Cause I was like, oh yeah, that's under $100. That's going to be cool. And now it's like 39 or 43 or some shit. Anyway, it's $297 for the entire 6 weeks, which is the most affordable thing that I have done. And this is going to be the last time that I'm running the reset. And if you don't like it for literally any reason, I'll just give you all your fucking money back because it's $297. It's completely fine. And I don't want you paying for something that you're not enjoying anyway. And I don't want that to be the relationship that we have. So from this, any link in bio will have the link to join the reset. It is going to close on Monday the 27th, because that is when we start the reset. But otherwise, if you want more info, find a link in bio, just join the reset. You can go to my website, www.thefitnessgenie.com/6-week-reset. Fuck yeah, we love it. All lowercase. You can go to there. Otherwise, find a link in bio, get all the info there. DM me if you have questions. But this week that you are listening to this podcast, from the 20th until the 27th of October, is the last week that you can and ever join the 6-week reset. I hope you got something from this. Even if you're not doing the 6-week reset, I hope you do gain something from this podcast or even just my content in general, and you're able to get through the holiday period without feeling completely triggered, pissed off, and basically just binging and feeling like shit through the whole holiday season. If you do want to do one-on-one, like the Unfuck Yourself Big program that I do, at the moment I have 4 spots available for that. You can just DM me or go through my normal website, thefitnessgenie.com.au. Find the Unfuck Yourself Transformation Program, inquire through the website, or just DM me on whatever platform that you follow me on, and we can just take it from there. That will take us up to, if we start on the 27th of October, I did this math before, if we start on the 27th of October for the Unfuck Yourself 6-month program, that takes us to the 11th of May, which is fucking crazy. Any hoosies. Yeah, that is it. I hope you have an amazing time, and hopefully I can be more consistent with podcasts as we start to go. But otherwise, I hope you enjoyed this one. I'll see you in the next one.